SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network. Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Aho! Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is! And it's caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires, Mike Sims, Walker!
And we are rolling right here on Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. Yesterday we talked about the AFC North. Today, the NFC West. We got a great show lined up for you today. Special guest, former national champion for Alabama, former defensive back of Dallas and Green Bay, George Teague joins us. But George, you know, breaking news, not breaking, but the news about Tom Brady in terms of playing all last year with a torn MCL. And you look at that performance by the Tampa Bay Bucks winning the Super Bowl. I got to ask you, do you buy that? Do you buy that Tom Brady was hurt all last year and leading the Bucks to the title?
Well, you know, I was discussing this last night with a buddy of mine. And my first thought was, well, define tear. Are we talking 100% tear? Or are we talking a tear where we don't know the degree? 30%, 40%, 50%. Anybody who's played sports, you have tears in your knees. It's just that you do in all your ligaments. It's just that what degree of tear? Yeah, so that's my first thing that's going on here. And I think it was Albert Breer who broke down other injuries that Brady has played with. Some injuries of ligaments in his hand and another injury and another. I think, wow. And this is every football player, by the way. It's a brutal sport. They're all hurt. If he had a complete tear, was able to play through it, maybe he is a robot. I mean, really, maybe he is a robot, because that is pretty amazing. If it was a complete tear, yet he was still able to play through it.
But why here right now at the start of training camp? Why not before? They had that news, obviously, a while now, right? Tom knew about it after they win the title over KC. I mean, we've had 4 months in terms of the offseason. Why right now, right here, in terms of before training camp? Like, they need a story to break, and this is the one. We could have broke this story about 4 months ago. So, I mean, that's the only thing. And I love Tom. I love his intensity. I love what he brings to the table in terms of making those teammates around him better. But to me, I mean, the timing of this really takes away from the team in 2021, doesn't it?
I don't know if it takes away. I mean, if you believe the story, the team didn't know about the injury, which I guess makes some sense there. It could just be a freak thing where, for some reason, the tearing of the MCL didn't bother him for whatever reason. No, not every injury is different for everybody. You know, it's not the same for everyone. I've torn my ACL, and I didn't have the same reaction other people have had. You know, where it wasn't immense pain for me, but it tore in half. So, you know, maybe you can, maybe you can't. The human body is a little bit different for everyone. But like I said, he seems to be able to play through just about anything, other than when he tore his own ACL, right? Other than that, he seems to be able to play through anything. As for the timing, I mean, that dawned on me as well. Why is this coming up now? Who cares? It's last year, right? I assume he's had it fixed now. I mean, see, I hope he's had it fixed, assuming he needs to have it fixed. He's not somebody who needs the pub. It's Tom Brady. He gets plenty of it. You wouldn't think he'd want it. You wouldn't think he'd want this to get out there in some ways. You know, so, yeah, it's a little interesting. But in the end, it's really all about nothing. We are mid-July now. That could also be a part of it. We need something to talk about.
Well, we're going to talk about the NFC West today. And you look at the four teams, Arizona, Seattle, L.A., and now San Francisco. Which team, in your opinion, has something to prove in 2021? I mean, rock-solid teams across the board, with the exception, you could say, of both San Francisco because of the injuries and Arizona, 500 team. But, I mean, when you look at this division this year, a lot of people expect this to be a very competitive division top to bottom. But in your eyes, which team has something to prove this season?
Oh, I think that's definitely San Fran, right? I guess you can make an argument for almost every team. Well, listen, Garoppolo has to be the quarterback who has the most to prove, assuming he gets at least a chance to start. But they bottomed out last year. They had some issues. Like I said, you could sort of make an argument with every team, right? Kyler Murray, you know, they didn't make the playoffs last year. So maybe Kingsbury is on the chopping block here if they fall apart again. The Rams decided to go for broke. Get rid of Goff. Let's bring in Stafford. They are literally, if you're a fantasy player, they are the team that has stars and scrubs. We're going to pay our stars and then have everybody else. If they stay healthy, sure, they'll be dangerous. If not, well, they won't. And then Seattle, I think we mentioned it on the other show yesterday or the day before, Russell Wilson, and he came out yesterday and said, oh, my relationship with Pete Carroll is the best it's ever been. You know, okay, let's see what happens if you have first couple of sacks, see if you still feel that way. So we'll see there. But I'm going to go San Fran here. I think because of the quarterback situation, trading up, right, and giving up all that draft capital to get the quarterback you wanted, did they get the right guy? Is Garoppolo going to be gone eventually? What's going to happen there? I'm still going San Fran is the most approved.
Wow, I'm going to go L.A. because of Stafford. You brought this guy in, didn't win a playoff game in his career. Now he's supposed to take this team to the promised land. You have Jalen Ramsey. You have Aaron Donald. You have some marquee players on offense like running back Cam Akers. So now what's the next step? This team has made a minor step back in terms of regression, right? Super Bowl 3 years ago against the New England Patriots. Now they get that win last year in Seattle but get blown out by Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers at home. This is supposed to be the quarterback that McVay wanted. We'll see if it pans out, in my opinion, because this team is, you know, they on paper, they look dominant, right? But then when push comes to shove, where's Jalen Ramsey? Where was Aaron Donald? Those are the question marks that I have for this team. You could do it in the regular season. It's another thing to do it in the playoffs. So we'll get into the LA Rams a little bit later. Going to hit it on San Francisco, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Joe and George ripping through the NFC West right now. We're going to turn our attention to the San Francisco 49ers. 6-10 last year. Disappointing season. Ravaged with injuries. Nick Bosa goes down. Jimmy Garoppolo goes down. A host of other key starters for that team. The team lost 7 of the last 9 games by an average margin of defeat of 10 points per game. They draft Trey Lance, number 3 in this year's draft. Quarterback battle on the horizon. George, what are your realistic expectations for the 49ers right now? You look at the schedule, it sets up perfectly for them. They are the front runners right here in the NFC West on our friends on FanDuel. But I'm not buying into this team in 2021.
Well, I mean, the first thing we have to figure out is who's going to start a quarterback. Or if it's going to be Garoppolo, when are they going to make the switch? You know, when does Lance get the job? Is he going to get the job this year? You know, without answering these questions, we just don't know. Now, you're right. The schedule, yeah, you played Detroit to open up. That's a nice soft opening there, right? Detroit, not a great team. Philadelphia, they have issues, but their defense could be somewhat solid. Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona, you start to get into your divisional schedule. Gets rough after that. I don't think you can ask much for them either this year, because I think sooner or later, you know, Joe, it's not like when you and I were growing up, where quarterbacks were given time to develop. And by time, I mean years. All right, we know, I mean, almost certainly Trey Lance is going to play at some point. The question in my mind is always trying to figure out when is that point. And it could be as soon as week one, of course, but it could also be maybe it's week 7 after their bye week, after they play Arizona in week 5. And he gets another 2 weeks to learn the system and get acclimated. Maybe it's when Garoppolo starts to struggle. Maybe if they start off 2-3, you know, that's what's going to go on here, and we'll see. So that could be it as well here. But I am going to agree with you. I think it's going to be I think struggle is a strong word. I think it's a very good team with a very good defense still. But I think offense, without knowing what's going to happen there, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, and here's when I break down San Francisco's, here's what I see. And I mentioned FanDuel. They're at 10.5 total wins at plus 105 on the FanDuel Sportsbook right here, right now. But that main concern about the quarterback, because we have an offense right now that was built around Jimmy Garoppolo in a rushing attack, right? They pound the rock between the tackles. They had Jeff Wilson. He comes back from an injury. Mostert's there. They draft Trey Sermon. They bring over Wayne Gallman. They average 118 rushing yards per game. That ranked 15th in the NFL last year. But Trey Lance is a raw quarterback at this point in his career. Now, you look back a couple of years ago in that one season at North Dakota State, 28 touchdowns, no interceptions. A good season, completed around 63% of his passes. But outside of that, he's still a raw, inconsistent quarterback, and expecting him to come in year one in a COVID type of environment, we're still in the pandemic. California was one of those states that had concerns in terms of practice preparation throughout last year. Now we expect him to hit the ground running. It's not going to happen, in my opinion. Secondly, George, this offense needs to change, in my opinion, with Trey Lance at the helm. He's a mobile guy. You could utilize him in terms of RPOs. So if you make that transition to Trey Lance in the middle of the season, even though there's veterans around him like George Kittle and like Ayuk and like Deebo Samuel, he's still going to struggle in the offense in terms of coverage.
Yeah, I agree with you here. I think that will be an issue. It would be two completely different types of offenses, assuming you're going to use them correctly. And I think Shanahan will use them correctly. You're going to have two completely different types of offenses, which will take some getting used to. And yes, you got to get the ball in the hands of Kittle, right? I mean, he's your best best playmaker there. And Deebo Samuel, I think he'll have a much better year this year. We assume he'll be healthy, that he won't suffer an injury in training camp or anyplace else. Brandon Ayuk, another year in the system, should be good. But how they incorporate Lance is going to be the key here. It's always the key when you draft a young quarterback. You know, it becomes the most important thing is when to put that quarterback in, when to do what's best for him. Because what's best for him, in the end, is going to be what's best for the organization.
When you look at this defense, and statistically, you mentioned it, one of the tops in the league, right? Seventh against the run, they only allowed 106 yards on the ground. That back end, in the terms of the secondary, 207 passing yards per game, but only 30 sacks last year, 22nd in the NFL. And even though Bosa was hurt, I mean, can we expect a huge jump to like a Pittsburgh type of production this year just because Nick Bosa's back? I mean, because I don't think so. I mean, if this team is just expecting one player to turn it around because of an injury, I just don't see it. I think they're a solid defense. But you go back to that game against Miami. Fitzpatrick abused them on the road last year, and that's a concern. And they were negative 11 in turnover margin. That was ranked 20th in the NFL. Excuse me, 30th. So, I mean, if you can't force turnovers as a defensive unit and you can't give your offense short field opportunities, how can you expect to build consistency with or without Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, you make a valid point. Now, I do think Nick Bosa is the engine that drives the defense. Because I think him being back will help immensely everywhere. Am I going to say they're going to go to the Pittsburgh? No, they're not going to get, they're not going to double their sack total because Nick Bosa is back. But I think it'll certainly be much better than 30. If I had to put a number on it, I would probably, hedge go the middle, mid 40s. I could see 48, something somewhere around there. So I think it will get better. I think he will help that team. But of course, you need to pray he stays healthy again. The secondary is still probably the weakest part of the unit here. So we'll see what they can do here. But I think it's a strong defense. I don't think it's going to be the best defense in the NFL. I don't. But I think it'll be a strong defense. And I think it can cover a bit for what the offense doesn't give them, especially if and when they make that switch to Lance. I think they will struggle for a game or two here. For me, it's just this. I think when you go to a young quarterback, which we know Jacksonville's going to do, Jets are going to do, right? Niners are going to do. Eventually, the Bears are going to do. When all these teams go to young quarterbacks, most of them are going to struggle for a couple of games. You're almost giving away a year. To get that quarterback acclimated. What you're hoping for is that his second year now is when he takes off, because that's he's made all his rookie mistakes. He's gotten it all out of the way, and you take off next year. It's another reason why I don't think the Niners will be all that great this year, because they'll have to get Lance involved, and Lance is not your prototypical quarterback. There's more for him to do. Yes, the running he should be good at right away, but throwing the ball down the field, reading the defense, is going to be a little tougher for him, so I think this could be a struggle.
Well, here's what I look at when I look at their schedule, right? They start, you mentioned, at Detroit, at Philly, Green Bay, Seattle, at Arizona. You know, in terms of wins, when you just say gimme wins, there's really only one gimme win, and that's at Detroit. Philly can surprise because it is at home. You have Jalen Hurts. They come out of a bye week. They face Carson Wentz in Indianapolis, at Chicago, Arizona, L.A., then at Jacksonville. That's a win. Minnesota, not easy. At Seattle, at Cincy, there's a win. Atlanta, there's a win. At Tennessee, Houston, a win. And at L.A. Rams. So there's no guarantee that they're just going to soar through their 10.5 win total. That's the biggest thing. And if adversity hits early on, where this team is, let's just say, 500 heading into the month of October, that's where the fans and that's where the team might say, hey, let's utilize Trey Lance. And now you have a situation that you can't get out of because you drafted him number 3 overall.
I have them as an under, for what it's worth. I don't think they're going to get to 10.5. I don't even know. When I look at the schedule, I do a quick little thing in my head. I have it at 8. That's the upside for them. They can get 8. Maybe they can get 9. But that schedule, it's not brutal. But as you keep saying, when you look at these things, the first thing I do is same thing. I'm looking at, okay, I'm trying to get a W here. There's only a couple of Ws here. There's a lot of 50-50 games. And generally, 50-50 games, I assume you're going to win half and lose half. You're not good enough to where you're going to get do more than that. So I had them about between 7 and 9 wins. Then to me, when they're 10.5, that's an easy under for me. I like this under a whole bunch. And let's face it, Lance is a wild card. Maybe he comes out and plays great and he's going to blow people away and people won't figure out how to defend him right away. That could happen here. I don't think it will, but it could. But I have them as an easy under.
I want to talk about the fantasy perspective a little bit. We talked about those running backs. The wide receivers are interesting because they get one player back in Jalen Hurd that came from Tennessee and Baylor, had a very good preseason before injuring his knee. Now he's back healthy. We'll see. We'll pick it up on the back end. George Teagle joins us. We'll break down more of the NFC West. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing our conversation of the NFC West, if you want the lowdown on the NFC, you bring in a former national champion at Alabama and the hardest hitting defensive back during his day with both Dallas and Green Bay. George Teague joins us. George, how are you today?
Man, it's a great day. I'm just spending a little time down in Alabama right now visiting my dad. Very glad to have this opportunity to chat with you guys for a little bit.
It's great talking NFL and college football right here in the month of July. It doesn't get better than this, George. Before we break down the NFC West, want to get your take. You played in Green Bay, and we see the situation starting to unravel or not unravel, right, with Aaron Rodgers. What do you feel about that type of situation? Do you feel that Aaron comes back in 2021 to the Packers?
So, a long time ago when this first started, my initial thought was that I thought this was going to be another Barry Sanders kind of deal. He's going to hold out, and they're not going to budge, and he's going to end up sitting at home. And that was very scary to me, and it still kind of is. So I've kind of got off that fence a little bit, fellas, just because he didn't opt out. He had a chance to go ahead and do that and decided not to. So I don't know if he's going to sit there and just let his money float or, be taken. But I don't know. He's kind of dug his heels in the sand, man. It doesn't look good to me, but Aaron Rodgers is a competitor. I think he's going to want to play. But I just think it would be detrimental if he comes in with a bad attitude and not, totally focused on betterment of the team as opposed to just what he wants from the organization.
George, I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan. So as a Cowboys fan, we all love you for what you did with Terrell Owens defending the star here. But there's something I wanted to ask you. You had a fantastic game when the Cowboys defeated the Vikings 40-15. And I believe it was maybe the wild card game or a divisional game in 96. You had a pick six. You forced two fumbles. And one of those fumbles is a I guess when people say, what rule change do you want to see in the NFL? It was the controversial one. I think it was amply, you force the fumble out of the end zone, and therefore the offense loses the ball. As a former player, we always hear from fans, you hear from media. I never heard a former player. Do you like this rule? When an offensive player fumbles the ball into the end zone, out of the end zone, they lose possession. What do you think of this rule?
I personally like it. You know, if we can create an opportunity if the guy's just running and fumbles the ball. Listen, there's so many things I think that are in favor of the offense to win the game. There's not a whole lot of favoritism to try to help a defense. So maybe I'm a little bit biased there, but everything seemed to be geared toward offense scoring points. And, you know, if they can't take care of the football, you know, and they're fumbling out the end zone or whatever, that ain't our fault. You know, we should be rewarded for that. As well on defense. So, yeah, and that could have changed the, you know, dynamic of that game that you're mentioning. You know, that was part of it. Need to run and try to knock the ball out. Got to strip it. If it just happens to go out the back of the end zone, so be it. So let's keep it is what I'm saying. Let's keep the rule.
I'm a defensive guy too, George. I love to see hits. I love to see the defense step up, and obviously takeaways are part of the game. I want to get your take in terms of the NFC West quarterbacks. We have Kyler Murray. We now have Matt Stafford over in L.A., Russell Wilson and Jimmy Garoppolo, respectively, with both Seattle and San Francisco. In your opinion, in 2021, which quarterback has the most to prove, or which one has huge expectations, obviously, in terms of pressure this season?
I think the most pressure is going to come from Stafford. You know, he's been in an organization where he's, you know, he's been good, but, you know, now everyone's talking about him being a MVP, winning the Super Bowl, got a lot of things around him. You know, he's going to have to walk into an organization that's, you know, looking at him to come be the savior, I guess. You know, you talk about Jimmy, it's on the other end. I don't know that he has, that they have. There's very many expectations for him. I think it's really all about Trey Lance now, and when does Jimmy get out of there? You know, when is that going to happen? So, you know, I'm putting most of it there. Russell Wilson, you know, he ain't got nothing to prove. His offensive line has something to prove. I'm putting Kyler Murray all the way down at the end. I think we know what he can do. It's really more if the team can, you know, get any better this year.
You know, George, we had Mark Collins on, another defensive guy, earlier this week, and I'm going to ask him the same question I asked him. You mentioned, and I 100% agree with you, every rule is designed for the offense nowadays. Every rule. Are you happy that if you had a choice that you don't play in today's game, with you can't breathe on a wide receiver without getting a 15-yard penalty, not to mention a letter from Goodell that's going to dock your pay? Are you happy that you don't have to deal with this? That not that the game was that much better in your day, but that the rules were maybe fairer than they are now?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to watch, especially when you played in a different area with different rules, just because, the defensive expectations aren't even the same. People just want you to win the game. It's not, you know, we used to say if we held a team to 17 points, you know, or less, 21 points or less, you're probably going to win the game. Now it's just really, how many times can you make a punt? You ain't even talking about how many times it can score. You know, the rules are all, I mean, your goal set is different. So I think that having to play in this day and age as a defensive back or a defensive person, it would be extremely difficult teaching guys how to tackle, try to find the tackle zone. If you go too low, you're hurting guys' pride and knees. If you go too high, then you're going to get fined and probably ejected, you know, for hitting someone in the head. You know, so the perfect tackle has to be the perfect tackle. Don't touch them past 3.5 yards. I know they're saying 5, but if you're anywhere, you breathe on them wrong, like you said, it's too difficult to still remain physical. But when people look at it, they forget about those rules. Then they start saying, oh, he's soft, he's not hitting, he's not tackling. But these players are thinking about everything on defense other than just going to make the play.
When you talk about defense, George, and we're talking to former national champion Dallas defensive back and Green Bay defensive back George Teague, when you talk about defense in terms of the NFC West, on paper, everybody leans to San Francisco. But you look at the offense, and you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo and new quarterback Trey Lance. Can San Francisco realistically win in terms of their philosophy, in terms of pounding the rock and then working off play action like they did a couple of years ago? Because I feel like you can get to a certain point, but when push comes to shove, you need that quarterback and you need the threat of a passing attack to challenge defenses if you're going to bring home a title.
Yeah, you're right, and I'm going to concur with you, and I don't know, maybe some of your listeners or may get upset with me or whatever, but I think the edge has to go to the Rams a little bit, specifically because of that. All right, so they're both going to have very good defenses, the 49ers and the Rams. I do think that the defense for the 49ers is going to improve. They're already good, but you get a healthy Bosa. Just another year with the coordinator. I think those two are going to be the top of the division, obviously, defensively. And I think defense does win championships. But on the other side, I'm giving a edge to the Rams just because of veteran quarterback play, solid veteran quarterback play in Stafford versus Garoppolo, or if it's not Garoppolo and it is Trey Lance, now you're dealing with a rookie that has to come in and deal with a defense like the Rams. Overall, if I were to rank those teams, I'm going to pick the Rams 1, the 49ers 2, Seattle 3, Arizona Cardinals 4.
That's great. That's awesome. Thanks for joining us today. Great insight, great information. We have to get you on as the season progresses, both for the Alabama Crimson Tide and the NFL. Thanks for joining us today.
George and Joe, y'all give me a call anytime, man. I'd be glad to join you.
George, great. That is great, George, in terms of what he brings. I he could play now, I'm telling you. I've seen him. He's a high school football coach and still going to Alabama to understand, the mad scientist in Nick Saban. He breaks it down better than anyone. And then in terms of getting his take about Stafford and the L.A. Rams, very interesting, no?
Oh, extremely interesting. Like I said, I wonder if he realizes, he must because he's working for the Cowboys, but how much Cowboy fans appreciated what he did. I mean, really, that incident at the start was a big thing back then, and I just realized looking at the date, my God, that was 25 years ago.
It's crazy.
25 years ago that happened. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's that long, but I think there were a lot of number 31 jerseys that were sold that day.
Yeah, it's incredible because he did bring up Stafford, the pressure, right? This is why you got this guy. You brought Matt Stafford in not to just win a playoff game, but to win a title. That's the biggest thing is, like, how can you guarantee in the locker room when Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey are there that Matt Stafford, who never won a playoff game, is now the quarterback to take you to a Super Bowl when your former guy, Jared Goff, at least got you there?
Yeah, Goff took a major step back, though. For whatever reason, he lost it. Yeah, maybe he can get it back, but he was very inconsistent. I thought Goff, I think I said this on the show yesterday or the day before, he was seeing the rush. It's early in your career to be seeing the rush, but I think he was taking so many hits, he was seeing the rush, throwing off his back foot, not stepping in the throws. I think that was his biggest issue there. And they wanted to get somebody, I think they feel their time is now. Maybe they feel it's a short window before they're not going to be able to keep all these guys together in the cap. So we'll get Stafford in, we'll pay them, and he'll bring us to where we want. They, right.
When we come back, we'll be talking about Seattle, L.A., and Arizona. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, talking NFC West. We just heard from George Teague that broke down the L.A. Rams and Matt Stafford. But, George, 10-6 last year. They won those 10 games, the L.A. Rams did, by 11.5 points per game. Got the road win over Seattle by 10 points in the playoff game and then get annihilated by the Packers on the road. But here's the biggest thing now. We talked about Stafford, right? We talked about those weapons around him. The schedule is favorable, okay? But I don't know if it's just, you know, going to just hand them a 10.5 win total at plus 126 on FanDuel. I think this team could maybe 9-8, maybe 10-7 overall. But I don't know if this is one of the elite teams in the conference. I lean to another team that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the segment. And then when you look at last year, you beat New England, right? 24-3. 10 days later, you lose to Joe Flacco and the New York Jets as a double-digit favorite, 23-20. That can't happen this year.
No, it can't. And once again, it's maybe why Goff's no longer there, right? Maybe exactly why he's no longer there and why they're going with Stafford here to bring that more consistently, the more dynamic offense here. We know that defense, when healthy, when playing well, is a nightmare, right? Aaron Donald is maybe the best football player in the NFL, the most dominant position, player at his position. He's a nightmare. Jalen Ramsey, you know, secondary is good. In my mind, this is all about the offensive line for the Rams. If that line, they don't need to be great. They're great. I think it's all over. If they're just average, average to above average, hey, Rams are going to be fine here. Now, 10.5 is a lot of wins. I'm not saying I would bet the over here. This is, in my mind, the toughest division in the NFL. You know, I think just going 3-3, you're probably happy to get out of the division with that. You know, so I'm probably not going to take the over here, but I'm not taking the under. What I'm trying to say is if I lean over, I do lean over, but this is probably a no bet for me as far as the win total here.
Okay, I lean under. I'm under. I'll tell you why.
You and I disagree.
We're going to disagree. This is good. That wide receiver core is not that good. I'm sorry. Robert Woods is not a number one. Cooper Kupp is good. He's not elite. He's a good possession type of wide receiver. Van Jefferson, now you bring in an aging DeSean Jackson. Give me a break. I mean, this defense can't take the top off opposing secondaries. Now, the biggest playmaker that they could possibly have is newcomer from Louisville, Tutu Atwell. But the kid's 155 pounds, George. Can he hold up to the NFL pounding for 17 games? And more importantly, if they are to make a title run in the playoffs, that's a huge concern. I mean, they are successful when they pound the rock with Cam Akers. Darrell Henderson's there as well. Without the running game, I don't know if this is a 500 team.
Oh, I think I'm with you about Atwell. I mean, 155, I weigh more than him. All right, that's nuts. And I'd be in a morgue if I played in the NFL. So, and you're right, they don't have a true wide receiver one. They don't, but it's a nice group there. They need DeSean Jackson. They don't need him to put up big numbers, but they need him to be where a defense has to account for him. That's what they want from him.
But can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy?
Probably not.
Realistically?
Probably right. Not. His history tells you no.
So, right. We'll see. Here's the second half of their schedule, George. They got a bye week at Green Bay, Jacksonville. There's one win at Arizona, Seattle, at Mini, at Baltimore, San Fran. There's no guarantee there for them. So that second half of the schedule after the bye week will really dictate whether this team goes over their 10.5 win total on FanDuel. It's plus 125 now if you think Stafford can lead this team to the promised land. Let's turn our attention to the Arizona Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury. As a head coach in Arizona, 13-18-1, 8-8 last year, started the season 5-2, but they lose 6 of the last 9 down the stretch by an average margin of defeat of 7 points per game. You get J.J. Watt on the defensive side of the ball, Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, and you draft Rondell Moore from Purdue. A lot of weapons surrounding Kyler Murray. Can this be the team to steal the division title?
Well, you mentioned they lost, what, the 6 of the last 9 or 7 of 9 last year. And one of those wins, by the way, was the Hail Mary, right, at Hopkins Court there. So keep that in mind as well. This team choked. All right, really, there's no other way to look at it. They choked to not make the playoffs last year. We like the additions. I do. I don't know how much A.J. Green has left, but he doesn't need to be A.J. Green. Just needs to compliment Hopkins and Kirk, and they'll be fine. All right, the run game, okay. Yeah, Connor, I think he's better as a backup than as a starter. You know, Chase Edmonds, fine. Tight end, still sort of a work in progress there. We'll see, but it's all Kyler Murray. You know, let's see what he can do. You added Rondell Moore with draft. You're giving him his weapons to try to get him to develop there, to be that player. And I thought the first half of the season, he looked like he was finally rounding into form, and then things didn't work out from there. Watt on defense, I think, certainly helps. He's a presence. And even if he's not the Watt he used to be in Houston, he's still a presence. The offense will have to account for him. And maybe there won't be as much pressure on him in Arizona. Or maybe there's more because he went to Arizona. You know, now they expect bigger things from him. But with Chandler Jones there as well, I think it's a really good addition there. I think very good for the locker room clubhouse as well here. I just worry about this. You know, it's a rough division. And even with all these changes, you still might be the worst team in this division. And that's unfair because you're not a bad team. But in this division, it's just you're not better than Seattle. You're not better than the Rams. Are you better than San Fran? Depends on the quarterback situation there. You know, I might put you at third place if I was going to pick as far as the order of the finish here, and I probably would put you in third, and that's probably not going to get you anywhere. So they're in the wrong division.
Yeah, I agree with that. The offense is going to be fine. This team resembles what Kingsbury had in terms of Lubbock with Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech. They are going to score probably 40 points per game. Make no mistake about it. As the season progresses, FanDuel will probably have every total in the 50s because they can score points, but they can't stop anybody. And that's the biggest problem and concern that you have in 2021. They ranked 22nd against the run, giving up 126 rushing yards to opposing offenses. Defensive secondary allowed 226 passing yards to opposing quarterbacks. J.J. Watt comes back over. He's old. Let's be honest. He is an old player, breaks down through injury. Can he last a complete season? Now, you have Buda Baker in the secondary. You have some other playmakers like Malcolm Butler. Those linebackers need to step up. Last year's draft pick, Isaiah Simmons, and now Zaven Collins from Tulsa. So you can score 40 points per game, George, but if they're giving up 45 points per game, I think Kingsbury's on his way out next year unless this team makes a playoff run.
That's going to be a question this year because I think that's maybe the major question. Will Kingsbury be out if they choke again? I think he's definitely gone. You know, if they lose six of the last nine again, I don't think they'll have a choice there. It's the NFL, not for long. We don't have patience anymore. You know, we're not giving you time here. But what if that doesn't happen, but they still don't make the playoffs? What if they go 8-9, you know, or 9-8? 9-8 may not get you in this year. You go 9-8, you know, you see some progression, but you still don't make it. Does he survive another season? I think he does under those circumstances. I think he'll get 22 to figure it out. Then I think he'd have to make the playoffs or bust that season. So I think there is pressure here. He sort of put everything on Kyler Murray, and Murray's been good quarterback, but not quite what they were expecting of him. Maybe he becomes that this year with all the weapons he has. So it's a lot of pressure on Arizona, really on everybody, because if not, they will make changes. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I'm going to assume that Kingsbury gets this year and next year, assuming they don't really, you know, spit the bit once again.
Well, our friends at FanDuel have them juiced to the over at over 8 wins at minus 130. If you think that Kingsbury and Arizona are an under 500 team, like I think they can be, it's plus 110. You look at their schedule, George, again, not easy. At Tennessee, Minnesota, that's my team to beat in terms of the NFC this year. At Jacksonville, at LA, then they get San Francisco, at Cleveland, Houston, Green Bay, at San Fran. Carolina, in my opinion, is going to be much improved with Matt Rhule. And then at Seattle before a bye week, that is not an easy schedule, even with Kyler Murray at the helm. If they sustain any injury, this team could be limping into the second half of the season.
Yeah, we're going to agree here. We're going to agree. I don't see great things happening. I mean, like I said, if things go well, I can see them getting the 9. You know,
right.
Well, other than that, I lean towards the under. I won't be betting it, mind you. I don't feel it's a strong under, but I lean towards it. I don't think it's going to be a great season for Arizona. And I'll say this again for the Cardinal fans out there. I think this is a decent team, but I think you're in the wrong division. The schedule does not line up well for you. So I think it's going to be, I don't want to say a rough season, because I think they'll be that playoff bubble team heading maybe into January, but I don't think it's going to work out for them.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think it's a very difficult schedule for the Arizona Cardinals in 2021. You talk about Seattle, 12-4 last year, started the season 5-0. Then they have some tough losses in the middle of the year to Arizona, Buffalo, and the Rams. They had the loss to the Giants, but they won four straight down the stretch. Heading into that playoff game against the LA Rams, they won those four games by an average margin of victory of 14 points per game. They have Mr. Dangerous, Russell Wilson, coming back, 40 touchdowns last year, 13 interceptions, didn't do a lot in the draft, didn't really do a lot in free agency, but I still believe that this is the team to beat this year. You have one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, Chris Carson comes back, that offensive line, DK Metcalf at the wide receiver position, I don't care. You put the ball in Russell Wilson's hands, he wins ball games. I think this is a 12-13 win team in 2021.
Yeah, we're going to disagree here. This is not to say I don't think Seattle's a good team. I do. I think they're certainly a playoff team here. But their schedule is brutal. It's not easy. They're not a great team. Russell Wilson is a fantastic quarterback. And it's amazing that I don't think he gets the love he deserves. I truly don't, because he was for a long time here. Now, Seattle's given him some weapons. They've helped out. But for a long time here, it was pretty much Russell would just draw a play in the dirt, it seemed like, in the huddle. Go, listen, I'm going to run around here. Somebody get open. Eventually, I'll avoid the tackles, and I'll get the ball to you. That was what the game plan was before they got Metcalf, before Tyler Lockett emerged, and so on here. But you look at this. I mean, their opening schedule, you're at Indianapolis, Minnesota, at San Fran, Rams, New Orleans. This is not easy. I mean, to get the 13-14 wins, they're going 5-2, 6-1 here? Don't see it. Don't see it in four of those games. By the way, four of their first six games are on the road. So I think they're going to have some issues here. I do think they're going to have some issues.
All right, so let's disagree, right? Carson Wentz is hard. I'm sorry. I know he got $41 million. I know he's back with Frank Reich. I really don't care. The guy's a turnover machine. You put him in a bad spot on the road, he loses ball games. He's at home week one. They're going to get abused. I mean, Seattle, that's the one thing when you look at Seattle. You got to break that game down, right? The MO of Indianapolis is to run the football with Jonathan Taylor and Himes, right? Work off a play action with Carson Wentz. You look at Seattle last year, fifth best in terms of the NFL, giving up only 95 rushing yards per game. The weakness of the Seattle team last year was Jamal Adams. It was that secondary that gave up 285 passing yards to opposing quarterbacks, ranked 31st in the league, but they had 46 sacks. Do you really feel that Carson Wentz is going to come out week one and beat Russell Wilson even though they're at home?
Last I checked, Indianapolis was a pretty good team with Philip Rivers last year, who couldn't throw the ball more than 40 yards down the field.
With Rivers, that's the difference.
Rivers was a turnover machine, too.
But he was experienced. I would take Philip Rivers, George, over Carson Wentz any day of the week. I don't care if he throws 30 interceptions. Carson Wentz was a deer in the headlights. I think he's horrible. Overrated. I'm sorry. I know Eagle fans love him and hated to see him go, some of them, but unbelievable. I think they're going to be mediocre this year.
I think they'll be all right this year. So I think it's going to be interesting. I'm not going to give that an automatic win to Seattle. First game on the road in Indy. They're a good team. Wentz is a major question mark, no doubt, but they're a good team.
When we come back, we'll be wrapping up NFC West odds. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
It's fundamental.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up the NFC West, we were just talking about the Seattle Seahawks and what they did in 2020. Those four losses, George, very close games. I mean, less than a touchdown. They lost those four games by an average margin of defeat of only 6.2 points per game. You mentioned that they have a difficult schedule this year that starts with Indianapolis. Road games at Minnesota, San Fran, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Washington, Houston, L.A., and the Arizona Cardinals. I don't care. Our friends at FanDuel have them plus 270 to win the NFC West, and I'm loving it, baby. Give me Mr. Dangerous. Give me the Seahawks to win it in 2021.
See, I have no problem with betting on them to win the division. I don't. I wouldn't bet the over on wins. I wouldn't do that. I think the division is either theirs or the Rams. Yeah, I think it's, well, I'm not going to put San Fran in here. I'm not going to put Arizona in there. So I have no problem betting on those two teams. I think it's going to be a tight race here. That schedule for Seattle looks brutal to me. It looks really tough. It's not too many. It seems like they either have gimmies or they have tough games.
Right.
And there's not much in between here. So if they have any issues at all, they're going to have some problems here. That being said, I think they could win the division. Absolutely. I'm going to go with the Rams to win the division, however, but I definitely think Seattle's a playoff team.
Well, if you like the Rams, FanDuel has them at plus 195, and FanDuel disagrees with both of us. They have the San Francisco 49ers as the clear-cut favorite at plus 185. If you want to back Kingsbury and Kyler, plus 600 to win the NFC West this year. I just don't see that. Too many holes on the defensive side of the ball. I will say this, out of the West, can you see a Super Bowl contender? Can either the Rams or the Seahawks, on paper right here, go to the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, why not? You know, you're going to have to go through Tampa Bay, I imagine, again. Green Bay, we don't know about. I don't think anybody from the NFC East is a Super Bowl team. I know you like Minnesota. I don't like them as much as you. So, yeah, someone's got to play Tampa Bay in the championship game.
I think it could be Seattle. You know, it could be Seattle. I like what Russell Wilson brings. I think he's going to be focused. I like this team to bounce back in a big way. We're going to be here with you throughout the week. Keep it where it is each and every day right here on Pro Football Full Circle. Have a great weekend, everyone.